Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is December 23rd, 2022. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Average Witch Podcast. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Remember, peace on earth, goodwill to men includes witches," by Samantha Stevens, Bewitch. So we are drinking anxiety reducer tea from Convergence Healing. This tea has licorice root, fennel seed, skullcap, kava root, St. John's wort, hawthorn leaf, and flower, as well as catnip. So today we're going to talk a little bit about St. John's wort. Let's find a reputable site. Here we go. Okay. This comes to us from Healthline.com. Some research shows that St. John's wort can help treat depression and other medical conditions, but experts do warn that there are some downsides. So let's dig into it. Let's enhance our herbal arsenal. St. John's wort is natural. It's an herbal supplement that doesn't require a prescription, and you can buy it from a health food store. So let's dig into like some of the benefits and some of the side effects. So, a Cochrane systematic review found that St. John's wort can be effective in treating major depression. A 2016 review found that 35 studies conclude St. John's wort reduced symptoms of mild to moderate depression more than a placebo. Another study indicated St. John's wort can be effective in treating wounds, bruises, burns, and sores. However, the Food and Drug Administration has not approved the substance for depression or any other medical condition, which isn't a surprise. Like, they don't typically really approve herbs, I don't think. I'm not sure. So I don't think that's really surprising. Jeremy Wolf, a licensed naturopathic physician, explained that St. John's wort creates many actions in the body. It is a strong antidepressant and may elevate mood in individuals with mild to moderate depression. He notes that St. John's wort is not recommended for individuals with severe depression. Wolf said St. John's wort has a strong antiviral activity that may promote healing and repair of wounds. He cautioned that the herb is not a fast-acting cure. It may take weeks or months before you notice any effect. So if you do decide that you want to take St. John's wort, how much should you take? According to Blair Green, a PharmD, she says that dosing varies due to non-standardized manufacturing. A normal dose range would be anywhere from 300 to 1,200 milligrams a day, typically divided up into doses, and that the effects are not fully understood. Now, there is a downside to St. John's wort, so let's talk about it so you can make an educated decision. So the main concerns about the herb center on the metabolic pathway known as the cytochrome 450. She explained that this pathway consists of enzymes that our body uses to clear drugs and ingested chemicals from the bloodstream. Quote, "These enzymes are responsible for breaking down everything from the glass of wine you had for dinner to the daily vitamin you take to keep your bones strong. Other substances can influence these enzymes. Quote, if you've ever heard that grapefruit juice can interfere with your medications, then you know of this process we call enzyme induction. St. John's wort, like grapefruit juice, induces the body to produce more of these enzymes in order to clear the chemical from the bloodstream. So the concern is that, so like, according to these doctors, St. John's wort signals to the body that it has to get the chemical out really fast, and that because of this, if you're taking other medications, it could rob those medications of their power because St. John's wort signals to the body, oh, get this out. It's getting everything out. So it's also getting out other medications that you may need. Let's see. They say, quote, when combined with SSRIs and MAOs, inhibitors, it may lead to elevated blood pressure and could induce what is known as serotonin syndrome. This could include confusion, fever, agitation, rapid heart rate, shivering, diarrhea, and muscle spasms. It should be avoided by breastfeeding women or pregnant women. It should also be avoided by people who are sensitive to sunlight. The Mayo Clinic in Minnesota recommends people do not take St. John's wort if they are taking other medications, which we talked about before. So, yeah. So, of course, like we said before, if you drink any tea for therapeutic reasons, you want to check with your doctor. Make sure that's something you want to do because, like we've said before, these do have effects on our body, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best thing we can for our body. All right. So, okay. Oh, and before we move on, if you're like, Tanya, what's the difference between drinking tea therapeutically and not therapeutically? Typically, the difference is amount of the herb, right? So it's very similar to when you use like essential oils for like aromatherapy. Are you using it because it smells good or because you want it to do something? And typically when you want it to do something, you have to use a lot more of the herb, right? So for example, if you're drinking like a random tea blend because it tastes like vanilla cake, if there is, I mean, you would never put like St. John's wort or kava kava in that. But let's just say for random sake, there's a pinch of St. John's wort. The tea is just for enjoyment. So it would typically have a lot lesser concentration of the herb, whereas teas you drink for therapeutic reasons, again, because you want something in your body to change, it typically has a higher concentration of the herb. So again, therefore, you just want to look out for it. You know, a lot of the teas we talk about are not for therapeutic use. They're for funsies, right? Because they taste good and they're fun, and or maybe they have magical aspects. We typically don't talk about therapeutic teas too much. So if you are taking a tea for therapeutic reasons, you want to make sure to do your due diligence, research the herb, talk to your doctor, things like that. All right. So we are throwing this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, December 23rd. The new moon shines her first light on the steep hills of Capricorn today. At the new moon, the sun conjoins the moon and we start something fresh. In Capricorn, we're starting a new project, something ambitious. For the Capricorn energy, even the sky isn't the limit. This force is always pushing toward a goal of some kind, and this new moon is perfect for defining that goal for yourself. It'll shed light on a plan and give you the impetus to really go for the gusto. Don't be afraid to think big. Your daily moon mantra is, it's okay to shoot for the moon because you might just land among the stars. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Are you looking for community? Do you feel like maybe you're doing this whole witch thing wrong? Do you want to hear that even if one spell caught your kitchen table on fire, it's still okay? Your Average Witch podcast might be right for you. Hear about witch life, witch stories, and sometimes a little witchcraft. You might hear what it was like to grow up in a pagan household, how a love spell went wrong, or learn a new way to attract prosperity. Hear these stories and more on Your Average Witch every full and new moon, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we have a question from one of our Patreon listeners, Nicole Lilly. Nicole wants us to talk about the Yule Cat. Well, we talked about the Yule Goat, the Yule Witch, the Yule Ham, the Yule Hot Log, the Yule Tree. So let's talk about the Yule Cat. This comes to us from medievalists.net. The Yule Cat of Iceland, a different kind of Christmas tradition. You know the Christmas cat. That cat was enormous. People know not where he came from, nor to what place he went. It's that time of year again, and high time to talk about cats. Cats and Christmas seem like a couple perpetually engaged in a love and hate relationship. On one hand, there's almost nothing more adorable than having a cat lie cozily either on your lap or next to the hearth with a brightly lit Christmas tree standing by. On the other hand, cats simply cannot stay cool and aloof when a tree suddenly appears in the house. They destroy everything and turn the holiday season into absolute hell. I saw a TikTok of this poor little cat who just like launched itself at a Christmas tree and the whole tree crashed down on it. Poor thing. In terms of destructive powers, one cat perhaps tops all his feline kin, and this is none other than the Christmas Cat of Iceland. According to legends, the Christmas or Yule Cat is a monstrously huge cat that only appears at Christmas Eve when the little children are sound asleep, dreaming of glitter of the Christmas tree and what marvelous gifts lie under it. Unfortunately, there are no colorful new clothes amongst these gifts. The innocent little ones, instead of feasting on a Christmas banquet next day, will become feasted on by the Yule Cat. Oh, it's more child eating. You guys. You guys gotta stop sending me stuff about things eating kids. It's so weird. I'm kidding. I'm being funny. No one is quite sure where the Yule Cat belief comes from, but what has made the cat universally famous is perhaps a poem by, and this is the most, like, Scandinavian name I've ever seen, so please bear with me. Poem by Johan Ur Kotlum. I tried. The beginning of which was cited at the first start of his poem. So it is, however, quite possible that the cat is trollish in nature. In Scandinavian folklore, witches and wizards often conjure up the creature called a troll cat using various disgusting ingredients such as dead man's toes and bones to do their bidding. Shamans may also take up a feline body. This does sound very fae-ish, doesn't it? It's really fascinating. Apparently, a story was once collected in Norway that a Finn takes the form of a huge black cat to inquire after the family of Johan Bendelsson, a higher hand in Lofoten. As a token, so basically this, like, they conjured up a black cat to steal spoons. Right. The nightmare, a succubus Ishmar, may also disguise herself as a cat when invading people's homes. Yeah, this sounds very, like, witchy. The logic is probably that cats are common as domestic animals. They are also nimble and quiet enough to sneak into buildings and chambers. The night owl nature of cats is probably also a bonus. As far as the Yule Cat is concerned, he is associated with a special group of supernatural beings. The central figure is a Gryla, which may be understood as a dark, twisted version of Santa Claus. In post-medieval Icelandic folklore, Gryla is a terrifying ogress or troll woman who mothered the 13 Yule lads. She comes from her mountainous abode each Christmas Eve, and striding side by side the Yule Cat devours naughty children. You know what's wild? We have spent all of December just going over these different lores. They all are just kind of mishmashed together, right? So we have this, because remember we had the Yule Witch and the Yule Goat, and then Krampus? This just sounds like a different version of that. It's apparently rooted in Middle Ages and even beyond. Sturlunga Saga makes several mentions of the name, apparently referring to a specific figure than a species. Yeah. Although the word troll is extremely vague and does not constitute a single species, there is a consensus about certain troll characteristics. They are always hideous, inhumanly strong, lustful, and cannibalistic. It is also a literary trope in sagas that heroes are tempted by troll wives. Oh my gosh. And are constantly advised against either sleeping or sharing food with them. By the 17th century, the tradition of Gryla had become tied to that of the Yule Lads, a much milder version of the story, but still a lot more mischievous. The tradition goes back to ancient times and is believed to come from East Iceland. They were much more nastier back then and perhaps sharing the same dark nature with their reputed mother and other trollish creatures. I think we talked about the Yule Lads when we talked about Krampus. Were they the ones with the sticks beating people in the legs? It's really funny. Nowadays, they've almost become nice, especially when compared to Gryla and the cat. For a start, they have stopped eating children. Cool. They still punish children if they are naughty, but the most severe thing they come up with now is putting rotten veggies in their socks. Nevertheless, the playfulness of the Yule Lad is not an excuse for us to drop our guard against the Yule Cat. Like old Gryla, who stands in defiance of the time and change, the cat is nowhere near nice. Beware, if he faintly meowed outside, the misfortune was soon to happen. Everyone knows he fed on men, but mice he would not eat. Ooh, spooky, spooky. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Nicole Lilly. Nicole, you loyal magical oracle. I also want to give a shout out to Elaine Gonzalez. Elaine, you rule-breaking, badass sunfish. Lillian, you scintillating, magical spider queen. And finally, Candace Cabell. Candace, you beautiful, innocent kitten. Thank you so much for being Patreon supporters. We really, really, really appreciate it. Now, before we leave, I do want to announce, don't forget, tomorrow we are having a special Christmas Eve episode. It's just fun and games with Miss Kiki Dombrowski. She's visiting us. And then we have our annual Christmas variety show on Christmas Day. And then we are taking a break until January 9th. So that's it. I hope you guys have a wonderful, 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 wonderful week and holiday and Christmas and good times with people you love and care about. Or if you're alone this year, just like indulge yourself. Do something nice for you. Listen to that CD you haven't listened to since you were 16. You know, watch that movie no one wants to watch with you. Like, just enjoy. Okay, so that's it. We'll talk again tomorrow, apparently.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.